Good afternoon, First Light. How are we doing? Could you just turn to your neighbor and say, welcome to the house of God. So good to see you. Today, it's my privilege to be here to share God's word. So good to see so many of you. And we have a special guest today. This is Steve from Churches of Christ. He's a friend of First Light and certainly not a stranger to us, not a stranger to me as well. We both serve on the Kokwa board together and really a man of wisdom. So if you're around later, you know, don't be shy. Just come and say hi and make him feel like family. Amen. And before I start today, I want to thank Pastor Rina for the opportunity to be here to share God's word. And thank you for sharing your platform with me. I just want to say that I'm grateful that Pastor Rina, she is my pastor. I'm grateful that First Light Church is my home church. And we've just actually came from a youth camp about 6 weeks ago. And if you were there serving at a youth camp, you'll notice that when you're at the youth camp and you're serving, or if you're youth attending, you realize that the youth camp actually smelled like Pastor Rina. And and when I say smell, I don't mean physically, but I mean spiritually, that it is the way that how Pastor Rina would lead the camp, even though the camp was led by me. And really, I believe this, that the anointing, you know, it flows from the top, it flows from the head, it touches the beard, and then it flows to the rest of our body. And I firmly believe that because, you know, the Bible, it says in 2 Chronicles 20, verse 20. I don't know if I should click this myself. Yes, I should. All right. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 20, it says this, that, "Hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe in your prophets, and you shall prosper." You know, in the day and age that we live in, where there are thousands of podcasts out there, there are thousands of gurus, experts, telling you how to live your life and giving you unsolicited advice. It's so important in this day and age that we really know who we accord spiritual authority to, who our spiritual leaders are, who our spiritual prophets are, and the people who speak into our life, and who do we actually lean into as our spiritual leaders and pastors. And you know what's the result of it? The Bible says that, "Believe in your prophets and you shall prosper." And often when we think of the word prosper or prosperity, we often think of something that is material. We often think of the world's idea of prosperity, which is always has to do with the material. But that is not necessarily God's heart for us. You know, when it comes to prosperity, biblical prosperity, you know, God wants to prosper you in every area and domain of your life. And this includes your children, your relationship with your children, your relationship with your spouse, your relationship with your families. You know, it includes your minds. It includes your health as well. So God wants to prosper you in every area and every domain of your life. And one of my favorite verses, you know, it's in 3 John. It says that, "Beloved, I pray and I believe that above all things that you may be in health then and prosper even as your soul prospers." So God wants to prosper you in your mind. He wants to prosper you in your soul. He wants to prosper you in your health. Amen. So with that, it leads me to my sermon today. My sermon title is, it's not reacting. Should I press and hold? All right, Dennis, I might need your help. My sermon title today is How to Sharpen Your Ninja Skills 2.0. I actually preached this sermon back in the youth camp 6 weeks ago. So it's about ninja skills. Pastor Rina was there at the youth camp, and she was hearing the sermon, and she said, "Oh, that's a good sermon. You should preach it, you know, to the rest of the church. They need to hear it." So here I am today, sharing the word with you. And the reason why it is 2.0, right, is because 2.0 is, you know, it's a second sermon, you know, and God always upgrades your sermon, you know. He builds revelation upon revelation, amen. So how to sharpen your ninja skills, amen. So with that, this is not reacting to me. So I would like to begin with Romans chapter 1, verse 16. It says that, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. And the word power there, it actually comes from the Greek word dunamis, which in the English is actually dynamite. So the gospel, when you receive the gospel in your life, it has an exploding power in your life when you receive it. And what's the result of that? And the word salvation there, you know, we it's not just salvation that when you die on this earth and then you go to heaven one day, but the word salvation, it actually means to sozo. And sozo, it means to save, to heal, and to deliver. So the gospel is the beginning of your life, is the middle of your life, and it's the end of your life. The gospel, you know, is there to save you, to heal you, and to deliver. And how many of us believe that in our day-to-day lives, we need the gospel every day? Yeah. We need saving, we need healing every single day. And the gospel becomes what the Bible says, that it is the truth that you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. What does that actually mean? You know, 10 years ago, I enlisted into the army. And as part of enlisting into the army, there's actually a series of checks that you need to go through. And Dylan will probably be the most aware of all these tests right now because he is enlisting into the army. And as part of the test, you need to go through like the urine test, you need to go through a mental aptitude test. And one of the tests was actually you have to go through a heart test. And as part of the heart test, there's this thing called an ECG that you have to go through. So 10 years ago, when I actually went for the test, I thought that I was going to be combat fit and everything. I went into the medical center, sat there and did the ECG. And all of a sudden, this army clerk came to me and he says to me that, I think that there is some abnormalities in your heart. And I was a little bit concerned. I was like, what are you talking about? What is this abnormality that you're talking about? And he was like, oh yeah, we don't actually know, but you actually need to be referred to the National Heart Center in 6 weeks' time. So I was like, oh, okay, that's new to me. Can you tell me a little bit more of what's actually going on? So I tried to press him a little bit, but I came to realize that he actually doesn't really know because he wasn't medically trained. So I was like, all right, that's fine. 6 weeks, here we go. And crazy enough, in that 6 weeks, as I was waiting to go to the National Heart Center, I started to develop all these crazy thoughts. It's crazy. It's things that I would hear voices that tell me, I think there is something wrong with your heart. I think that you're not going to be combat fit. I think that I am that you're a dying man. You know, and all these crazy thoughts were coming into my mind within that 6 weeks. And as I was waiting for that 6 weeks, you know what's the craziest thing that actually happened? I started to develop chest pain. And I don't know where this chest pain actually came from. I'll breathe in, and then I'll feel like, oh, wow, sharp pain and all that stuff. And I couldn't explain it. And by then, when I was facing all that lying symptoms, I start to believe that actually I think that maybe I actually have a problem. So 6 weeks later, I pushed through that 6 weeks. I went to the National Heart Center, and I remember I was sitting outside the clinic just to see the doctor. And my mom was with me, and just before we saw the doctor, she actually sat with me and she said, John, I know that you are very worried about your health. This thing that you've been thinking about has actually been tormenting you a bit. But I want you to know that when you were of just a few days old, you were actually meant to die because you fell from a bed that was so high. And in Singapore, you call it the sarong. It is the thing that bounces up and down. And I fell from it from a few days when I was a few days old. And my mom said that actually you were supposed to die. But you know what? I believe that God actually preserved your life. And because God preserved your life, I know that everything is going to be okay. And when I heard that, I was like, wow, I felt the peace of God like never before. And true enough, when I stepped into the doctor's room, it was so quick. In that moment, it was like, oh yeah, we saw your heart result. We went for the stress test and everything. It looks like you're free to go. And I was like, really? Is that all? free to go. What about all these abnormalities that the guy was talking about? And I was like, oh no, we tested everything and it seems that it's normal and yeah, you're free to go. You'll probably be combat fit. So I was like, wow, okay. And you know what's crazy about it? Is that after I received the news, all of a sudden, no more chest pain. I don't know how did that happen. You see, the truth of the doctor's report actually set me free. But how much more if we live in the truth of the gospel, of our identity in Christ, of knowing that we are saved, we are healed, we are delivered, we have the peace, we have the joy of Christ in our life, how much more will that set you free? Amen. Amen. Because the word of God, you know, it says in Hebrews, let's turn to the next slide, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 17. Yeah, 4, verse 17. It says that for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and joints and marrows, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And for many years, I was asking God, God, what is this double-edged sword that you're talking about? For years, because, you know, the kitchen knives that we use, right, they are single-edged sword. They're not double-edged sword, right? So for years, I was like, oh, what is a double-edged sword? And the picture that eventually resonated in my spirit is actually this. Dennis, I'm relying on you to click my slides because it's not working. Ta-da, it's a lightsaber. And I actually have a little prop here. I'm just going to grab it. Anyone knows what is this? This is a lightsaber. I want to thank Jonah for lending me his lightsaber for 6 weeks already. It's been with me since the youth camp. Pastor Jeremy, if you're here, please remember to take it from me. But this is a lightsaber. And the word of God is like a lightsaber. It cuts one way, and it cuts the other way. If you swing it on the left, it cuts. You swing it on the right, it cuts. And I actually prepared a little video. I thought it was pretty cool. I thought to show it. Dennis, you can show the video. All right. So that's pretty cool, right? A lightsaber. How many Star Wars fans we have in the house? All right, quite a few Star Wars fans. You know, in the movies, right, you get to see, like, in like the lightsaber, it actually acts as a defense, and it also acts as an offense. There'll be certain scenes where, you know, the bad guys come, and they come spraying the bullets, ba 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 bam, and then the guy with the lightsaber goes like, ching, 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 and all the bullets just fall to the ground. And you know what? This is the picture that I want to show all of you, that this is the word of God. That when the enemy fires fiery darts at us, with the word of God, all these fiery darts will just fall to the ground. Yes. Amen? Yes. Amen? Can I borrow EJ? EJ, where are you? Where's EJ? Oh, EJ. Can you help me welcome EJ? He's wearing the same shirt as me today. Yeah, come and stand over here, EJ. So, EJ, he's a really cool guy, right? And there's a common theme among me and EJ is that we both share a love for something that we both really like, and it's sports. And it's not just sports, but it is combat sports, all right? So the difference between EJ and I is that EJ is a boxer and a kickboxer and do a bit of Muay Thai as well, right? So he's a boxer. I predominantly love the wrestling, the jiu-jitsu, the judo, and what else? Yeah, and the grappling and the wrestling, you know. That's pretty much my area of combat sports that I really like. But EJ, he's a really good boxer. You want to show them some moves you got? We were just sparring on Friday, and man, he was piecing me up, you know. He's good. So EJ, he has some... He's really good boxing, but do you know something about when you watch, if anyone watched the UFC here? Oh, not many people. All right, I'll educate you guys about the UFC. So in a fight, right, there's always two types of fighters. There's always the strikers, and there is the grapplers and the wrestlers, right? So the boxer, normally what he tries to do is that he will always want to keep the distance from me if I'm a wrestler. And if I am a wrestler, what I want to do is I want to keep close to EJ, because through being close to him, he can't do anything. And if I'm close to him, I can just pull him, I can take his back, and from here I can like drag him to the ground, or if I want, I can just lift him up and throw him. So this is what a wrestler will normally do, is that they always want to close the distance, right? So if, let's say if I got EJ here, and EJ, if you try to punch me, yeah, maybe he can get a few like punches, but you'll notice that it will be either very little damage or no damage at all, right? But if I am a wrestler and I get close to EJ, I want to be as close to him. I want to keep him tight so that he can't punch me. And from here, I can control him. I can throw him. I can lift him. I can walk him. But I won't throw EJ, all right? Because we've got no mats over here. But that is what the enemy wants to do in our life. He wants to cling on to our minds. He wants to be close to us. And how does he do it? He does it through fiery darts. He does it through deceptive thoughts. He does it through lying symptoms even that we talk about. And he wants to cling on to us like how he clings on to our minds. You know? But you know, what's the difference right here, right? Is that... how many of you know what is this? What is it? Yeah, cooking oil, olive oil. Yeah, olive oil. You see a lot of this in coals. You see a lot of this in your house because this is something that we use. But one thing really cool about the olive oil, right, it actually represents the Holy Spirit. And today when we read our Bibles, we no longer read. Bible study is a dead work if we don't read it with the Holy Spirit, you know. So the Word of God is like the oil that comes upon our life. And, you know, one really cool thing about the olive oil, right, is that for olive oil to be olive oil, it actually starts with olives, right? Needless to say. And olives, they are actually crushed and they are bruised. And when it's fully, fully crushed, that is when the oil flows, right? And that is the Holy Spirit and His Word in our life. Amen. Can I borrow Dylan? Dylan, are you here? All right, Dylan. Help me welcome Dylan. Got another cool guy, Dylan, here. All right. So Dylan's going to the army. All right, maybe we can stand here, Dylan. So this is how when the Word of God is actually in your life. All right, EJ, can we have your hand? So when God's Word, it comes into our life, it pours on us, and it makes us oily. We'll try our best. All right, EJ is all oiled up now, all right? Okay, so when the Word of God comes on our life, and when the enemy, me, want to keep hold of EJ, you know, and when I try to pull him, there is no way that I can hold on to EJ. If I try to pull him, I can't. Okay, let's just stand here. If I try to like pull him down like how I used to, I can't. If I try even to change my grip, I try to pull. I'm gonna try again. All right, you know what? Dylan, you try now. Come on, try harder, Dylan. One more time. If you're hardest. All right. Can we give the two of them a round of applause? There's some tissues there. You see, this is your life when you have the Word of God in your life. You become unstoppable and you become undevourable in your life. Amen. And maybe you're here and you say that, sorry, John, I don't believe in this spiritual warfare thing. I believe in only positive thinking or negative thinking. Or I believe in only reframing of your mind. That's it. Positive thinking or negative thinking, that's it. But you know, it's not what I said. It is what the Bible said. Can we have the next slide? You see, this was at a time when Judas was about to betray Jesus. And this is what the Bible says. It says that, and supper being ended, the devil, having already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. The devil, having already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot. Next verse. And this was a time when Ananias and Sapphira, they were in the early church and they were stealing money from the early church. You know, this was what happened. And Peter said to Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? The enemy, he comes and he puts thoughts into our mind. He gives us fiery darts. You know, he puts thoughts in our minds, and he don't use the word you. He uses the word I. I am a failure. I'm not a good father. I'm not a good parent. I don't know what have you heard? I'm a bad person. Yeah, the enemy, he puts these kind of thoughts into your mind, and he makes you think that it is you who are thinking those thoughts. But sometimes the enemy comes and he puts those thoughts. But you know what? And that's what the Bible says. So let's go to the next verse. It says this, that be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. It doesn't say here, be sober, be vigilant, because your devil, your adversary, walks about like a biting lion, devouring everyone he wants to devour. It doesn't say that, right? It says that it walks about like a roaring lion. Why is it roaring? Because this lion is already toothless. You know why is he already toothless? Because Jesus disarmed him at the cross on Calvary. He won the victory for us at the cross. And therefore today, when we fight, we no longer fight for victory, but we fight from a place of victory. I say it again, you do not fight. Your Christian life is no longer to fight for victory, but to fight from a place of victory, because Jesus has won it for you at the cross. So he says that seeking whom he may devour. So what it means here is that it can't devour anyone. The only weapon that the enemy has against you are deception, distractions, disillusionment, and that's all he could do. But our weapons of warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. And that is where the Word of God comes in. So hold on to the Word of God, because it has life, and it has the life and the power to change our lives. Amen. 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 You know what? So there's my ninja skill one for you. I promise for ninja skill, right? For more ninja skills for you. Anyone wants to guess what's ninja skill number two? All right, I'll give it to you. No need to guess. Ninja skill number two. Store up God's word in your heart. Store up God's word in your heart. When I was giving this ninja skill, this picture that actually came to my mind was this. Anyone knows the story about Joseph? It's a very good story, right? So long story short, Joseph, he was loved by his father. He was sold by his brothers. And after he was sold by his brothers, he went to Potiphar's house, which he was accused. And after he was accused, he was thrown into the dungeon. And in the dungeon, he interpreted the dreams of people. And what actually happened after that was that he was brought before Pharaoh, and he interpreted the dreams of Pharaoh. And he told Pharaoh this. He said, 7 years of famine will come, and you will have 7 years of plenty. And he advised Pharaoh, and he said, you know, in those 7 years of plenty, store up for the time when the 7 years or famine come. And Pharaoh loved his advice so much that he put Joseph as the second man in the land of Egypt, and he eventually saved the entire nation. You see, we store up a reserve in a time when there is plenty. You don't build a reserve when you are in a time of famine. Amen? But it is in those times, you know, when you read the Bible, you don't just go to the Word and you say, oh, today I read the Word, but I receive nothing from it. You know, store up the Word of God in your heart. Store up that Word, that the Word of God will become, that will build you up in times of challenge, in times of adversity that comes your way. And you know what? It will not just build you up, but it will build the people around you up. That it comes to the point that when you read, when you no longer need to open your Bible to release the Word of God anymore. How many of you have been in prayer meetings, right? You go to prayer meetings and sometimes people just quote scripture. But you know, the Word of God has been living in their soul, it's been living in their heart, and it just comes out like rivers of water that will just bless the people around them. Amen? You know, and before I go into the next verse, this is ninja skill number two, right? To store up God's Word. Let's turn to the next verse, please. You know what? In Deuteronomy, it says this. The Bible says that, therefore, you shall lay up these words of mine in your heart and in your soul. Why in your heart and soul? Because in this mortal frame that we live in, our infirmities, they're real. One day, you just wake up and for no reason, you just feel anxious for the day that is ahead. You can't explain it at all. Next moment, you read something on the internet or you read a medical report and suddenly you're overcome with paranoia because our heart and our soul is so volatile to the things that we consume. And this day and age that we live in, where there's so much entertainment that is around, you know, nothing wrong watching Netflix and nothing wrong watching YouTube, all right? That's all good and fine. But we gotta be in control, right? But in a world where there's so much entertainment that is going on, we want to be built up in the Word. We want to be built up in our heart and in our soul. Amen? Because it is the true thing that gives us life, and it's the life, the more abundant life that God wants us to live. Amen. So he wants us to build it up, build up a silo in our heart. And you know what? Bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be frontlets between your eyes. If you go to Israel, you'll see that people, they will actually bind scripture on their hands. In our day and age, maybe it could be putting a verse on your iPhone, your screen, so that you wake up in the morning, you read the Word of God. The first thing that enters into your heart, it is the Word of God. Amen. And you know what's the result of that? Let's go to the next verse. It says that, we just talked about generational blessing, right, in the last month. And you shall teach your children, speaking of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. And you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and of your gates. Musicians, you can come. You know, if there's one ninja skill that I want to release over here, it is that teach the Word of God to your families, to your children. Open scripture, read it together, because that is where life is. So read the scripture, impart scripture, because that's the thing that will change our life. And what's the result of it? Next slide, please. It says that your days and the days of your children shall be multiplied in the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers to give them. And the result is that it shall be like days of heaven above the earth. How many of you want that? Days of heaven on earth. God wants us to have days of heaven on earth, to cling on to His Word, not just to cling on to His Word, store up His Word and share the Word of God to your friends, to your colleagues, to your families, because it will give life. Amen. I want to close today by sharing what happened at our youth camp. Just 6 weeks ago, we were at a youth camp, right? How many of you were at a youth camp? Woo, make some noise! Our young people were there. And, you know, it was such amazing, amazing time. I was there and I was supposed to preach. And as I was there and I was supposed to preach three sessions, actually. And if you know me, I have never preached three times in a row before. Maybe you ask me to preach once a year, twice a year. It's good, I prepare for it and let's go, you know. But three sessions, I had to do three sessions. I was just like, oh God, you gotta help me through these sessions. And I remember that when I was preparing for the first sermon to preach the word to our young people, I remember feeling so nervous. I couldn't understand why. I was just standing there, I was like, wow, like, why am I feeling so nervous? I felt more nervous back then than preaching here today. I couldn't understand it. And in my mind, I tried to say like, oh, you know, they are just kids, the teenagers, you know, we just go there and we share His word and we'll be good. But I just couldn't shake off that moment, because it was in that moment there was a heaviness, there was a God moment that God wanted to bring at that time to our young people. So I got up there, I did the first night, I shared God's word with all of them, the gospel, how we're chosen by God, how Christ, you know, He gave up His life for us, the gospel. And as I was done by the first night, I was like, all right, I think this is as good as it gets. Some of the leaders who were there, they said, oh, that was such a good sermon, looking forward to the next one. And I was like, oh God, you gotta help me. And I out of my lack of faith, I told the leader, I was like, I think this is the best it goes, you know, there's still gonna be another two sessions. But it was in that moment, you know, God just gave me the points, and after points, and Pastor Rina was there on the second day and outbirthed this sermon. And I preached this sermon again of God's word, having His word in our life. And many of them were touched by the presence of God. And when it came to the third session, I told God, I say, God, I have no more sermon left to preach. No more sermon to preach anymore. I don't know what to do. And it was there that God gave me a scripture verse. And it was in John chapter 13. And He said, just read scripture over them. So we went there, and in that scripture, it was Jesus who was washing the feet of the disciples. So we took up scripture, we just started to read. I went before our young people, we opened the Word of God, and we just read scripture together. And in that moment, God said, all right, it is time. How about you put the Word of God into practice? So I took the towel, I took the pail, and we got all our youth to sit in a semicircle. And one by one, we went to wash their feet. And I remember that the first person, when I just knelt down and I just started to wash, I can't remember who was it. It was maybe Wes or Kaylee. Yeah, and I started to, and as I knelt down, I started to cry. I started to weep, because that was when I felt Christ that was in me. It was Christ that was washing all of their feet. He didn't just want to wash them in the word, but He wants to wash them in deed as well. And youth after youth that I went, and with tears in their eyes, because they knew that Jesus was touching them, He was reaching them not just with the word, but with deed. And they knew that Jesus was right there touching them, and He loves them. So I went youth after youth, and I just blessed them with scripture, bless them in the word. And by the time I reached the last person and it was done, I got up, and lo and behold, there was Pastor Rina who was there, and she was ready for me with a chair, with a pail, with a jug in her hand, and she said that now it is time for me to wash your feet. And I sat down. And that day, we had a full day. My feet was... It can slay people, and not in the spirit. But she took my feet and she started to wash my feet. And she poured the water. And after she washed my feet, she kissed my feet. And in that moment, I did not see Pastor Rena anymore. I saw Jesus. Because only Jesus would kiss the feet of his son. Only Jesus would kiss the feet of his son. And this is our senior pastor, that she will obey Jesus. She will obey Christ to the point of kissing another man's feet. And I messaged her that day after that, and I said that, Pastor Rena, thank you. Thank you for washing my feet and kissing my feet. It changed my life. I felt Jesus in a way like never before. And true enough, she said that, you know, I would never kiss anyone else's feet, let alone another man's feet. But I did that because Jesus wanted me to do it for you. That's our senior pastor. That's our senior pastor. And after that moment, I got up before the young people. I didn't even know how to close the service. So I just knelt down and I just started to sing. We sang Oh What Love. I sang the first line. I sang the second line. And I couldn't sing anymore. So I put down the mic. And as I put down the mic, it was like the presence of God just filled the room. And every single young person fell on their knees and they worshiped Jesus. And I knew that at that moment was not about me anymore. It was what Jesus wanted to do. God had walked into the room. He had walked into that room at that point of time. And every prayer that we had, every cry that you cried for the next generation, everything culminated in that moment when God moved in our young people's life. That is the power of the gospel. That is the power of His word. That is the power that changes our life. Amen. And it is in that word of God that no enemy can stand against it. No enemy can stand against it, because it is the power of God unto salvation. So don't despise the words that you speak over another person. Whether it's a young person, old person, it has the power to change their lives. Amen. Oh, I feel God's presence here. And I just want to pray. Can we all rise to our feet? Oh, hallelujah. Can you lift your hands to the Lord? I just sense an impartation that God wants to impart right now. Oh, hallelujah. Father, I just want to thank you. Today, we heard your word. We receive your word. Oh, God, we pray that today, it will be a new season for First Light Church. That let there be such a fresh revival of the word of God in our lives. I pray, Father, that it shall be that when we open the scriptures, you know, it will not be a dead work, but it be a work that will come alive and living like a two-edged sword, piercing between joints and marrows. Father, I pray that there shall be a fresh revival in your word. That it shall be like at the road of Emmaus, when the two disciples walked with you and you opened scripture concerning yourself to them, and they said this, that didn't not our hearts burn within us when you expounded the scripture to all of us? Didn't our heart burn within us? Today, right now, I pray in Jesus' name that you ignite a fire within our hearts today for your living word, that we may lean into your scripture, that we may lean into the word of life, we may lean into all that you have for us, that we shall experience days of heaven upon the earth when we touch your living word today. Father, I want to pray for parents here, for maybe in areas of their life where they feel that they have made mistakes. with their children. Father, I thank you that there is no mistake that is greater than the power of God. That every mistake, they can be supernaturally forgiven. They will be supernaturally forgotten. Father, I want to pray for even business owners and people who have been in their careers where they have felt that mistakes have occurred. Father, I pray that right now we rebuke the devourer that has been stealing from us. We rebuke the devourer that he will steal from us no more. That every mistake, all things will work together for good for those who love him and are called according to your purpose. That every mistake, it is washed by the blood of Jesus. Today, there is no mistake that is greater than your word. I declare unto you. I pray for people who are right now in seasons of darkness and in depression, that though in our own efforts, we may not be able to get out of it. But Lord, we just want to invite your heavenly power to descend upon our situation, that there is no darkness that is too great for your light. Today we cast out every darkness that the enemy has tried to rob us with. Today I pray that you set them free. Set them free by the power of God. And I pray as well for people right now that have been looking to themselves for their own resources. But Lord, I want to pray that we will not look to the resources on this earth. But I just thank you that we pray that let your heavenly resources flood every area of our life that we have no control over. So I bless our people today. I bless our congregation. I pray that as the word of God goes forth, it shall not return void, but it shall accomplish the purpose of which it was sent for. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you for your love. Today I pray, Father, that we, as we open your word, that we will experience the person of Jesus, the power of his work. Father, let your power flow into each and every area person right now. Just receive.